This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Making Donald Trump our commander-in-chief would be a historic mistake. Trump's ideas aren't just different. They are dangerously incoherent. This isn't reality television. This is actual reality. Because it's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us into a war just because somebody got under his very thin skin.
I watched Hillary today. It was pathetic. It was so sad to watch.
The only reason she's behaving like this, and the only reason she's been dragged so far left, believe me, is she doesn't want to go to jail over the emails, okay? Believe me.
Hillary Clinton. Now, you guys know this. It's hard for me to compliment Hillary Clinton. I know it's harder for me to compliment Trump, but it's hard for me to compliment Clinton. Hillary Clinton did a great speech yesterday. And she did something that I didn't think she could pull off. She managed to lay out a very cohesive, coherent list of reasons of why, when you picture Donald Trump in the Oval Office making the decisions of the most powerful person on the planet, it should scare the living S out of you. And she laid it out quite well.
I think so, too. I thought it was a very good speech because we've been saying all along, start laying out some ideas. And she did do that.
She did some ideas. Mostly it was Trump sucks.
You're right.
But she did some ideas. She's still got to explain who she is and why she should be president because she got plenty to answer for as well. But if you're Trump and your only answer is Hillary ought to be in jail, and earlier in the week, the sitting federal judge can't judge my case, even though that judge was good enough to put it off until after the election, I ought to be saying thank you. He can't judge my case because he's a Mexican, so therefore he's biased. Again, that guy, that's all I'm saying. But I'm not ready to vote for Hillary. I'm certainly not voting for Trump, but I'm not ready to vote for Hillary. At this point, I'm voting for Jake, and he's not even running.
He should run. By the way, can we stop? I know this is probably stating the obvious, but could we stop with the name calling pathetic and loser?
No.
And okay. I would throw that out there.
It's nice of you to ask, but it's going to continue. You know, it is. And sadly, it's going to continue right through.
Because you know why, Steve? One of these two is going to be the president of the United States of America. So,
yeah, well, that's the thing. You're exactly right. Reducing the respect, the world respect, because there is still some, that goes to the office of the presidency in this country to a reality show and to name calling and to an insult fest. We all ought to be embarrassed by that.
Completely.
Right, if you want to act like that, get a talk show. It's 6:13. What are the Cubs and the White Sox doing this weekend, Dave?
The Cubs are hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I wouldn't want to be a Diamondback. Bad week to be a Diamondback.
You would not want to be a Diamondback. Although, these are the kinds of teams that, you know, it's been the marquee teams. Cubs have done great, and they've had, against the Padres and the Braves, they've had their moments where I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling the way they're going now, they're not going to have too much trouble with Arizona.
They like to win. These kids, they like to win.
They do like
to
win.
These kids with their bats and the balls.
And they go with Lackey today, Hamill tomorrow, and Arrieta on Sunday.
Yeah, you don't want to be the Diamondbacks.
You don't want to be the Diamondbacks.
What are the White Sox doing?
White Sox are playing in Detroit.
Okay. Well, that's a good weekend.
Yeah, Tigers have been down, so it's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, so not bad. The Chicago Blackhawks convention coming up now in about a little over a month. And I've started to break out the Blackhawks gear again. I'm sporting one of my 12,000 Blackhawks hats today.
I'm
getting Blackhawks summer ready. So and I obviously also have on my Jonathan Toews underoos, but I can't show you those.
Did you finally switch your closet from the winter to the spring? You know how you clean everything.
My winter
out.
Blackhawks wear to my spring Blackhawks.
Yeah, put all the winter and plastic and.
It's a big day for me when I do that wardrobe shift over.
You didn't do it, did you?
So much harder being a girl. It's got to be so much harder being a girl. Thanks. Mary, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Me?
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Because you lay it out the night before, like you're a kindergartner.
Yep.
Yep. That's what we have to do on this show.
Got to do it. Be organized.
Andrea?
Probably, if I hurry, 45 minutes.
And do you lay out anything the night before?
No.
And Andrea puts her makeup on here.
Yeah, but I do my hair at home. Oh, God, it takes forever to dry my hair.
Sandberg, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning? This ought to be entertaining.
25 minutes to 55 minutes, depending on what effort I put in.
Okay.
Hair, arguably, though, wouldn't you say For me, anyway, hair takes the longest.
Yeah,
straightening so like
or oh yeah, curling.
Right, we had to be videoed yesterday, so I blew dry my hair in the morning. And you can't just blow it when it's soaking wet, so you have to walk around and make beds and things.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Take your vitamins.
I get up in the morning and I think, have got to make these beds before I leave the house.
You gotta let it air dry a little. Take your vitamins. Get a glass of water.
All right. By comparison, Mike Jacobson, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Oh. 6.5-7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Depends how long it takes for the water to heat up in the shower. Usually pretty quick, so I'd say about 15 minutes.
That includes the shower.
Including the shower and the shave.
See, I'll normally go shower the night before. Shave is only occasional, you know, depending on the day and what has to be done. And I lay the clothes out the night before. Like last night, I checked the forecast, and I knew that this is my last clear weekend for several weeks. So I thought, well, I'm playing golf tomorrow. I'll probably play golf Saturday and Sunday, so this is going to be a rough weekend for me. So I laid out shorts and the golf shirt. The hat was already in the car. 3 minutes.
Wow.
Look at you.
3 minutes, yeah.
Gee, did you even put deodorant on?
Yeah, both arms.
I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting,
arms.
Though. You
my point is, a salute to the women.
Thank you, yeah.
A salute to the women. Yeah. Let me tell you, it's so much easier being a dude. It really is. And plus, when we fold in your low expectations of us, good God, thank you for that.
But here's the other thing. They can finish their grooming while they're here, while they're sitting in front of the microphone,
right,
putting makeup
now,
on.
Who does that? Come on.
It's kind of hard to see, Dave.
Speaking of which, thanks for reminding me.
Well, Dave, you can finish your grooming as well. There's no other grooming to do. We've covered the grooming.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Shower regularly, throw on some deodorant, brush your teeth, put your clothes on.
Yeah, you guys mm-hmm. don't have the makeup. You just have the Genucel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did that in the car.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
so.
Good.
Laying out my makeup.
I'm desperately concerned there's going to be they rightfully have instituted for a long time now the no texting while you drive law. The no Genucel while you drive law would be a problem for
me. No, they're not.
Could change up my whole routine in the morning. It's 6:18, and let's do your traffic. Mary's Bay or that. What do you have? Oh, and now let's get a caller on the line for Lou's first call. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. What do you have on Lou's agenda that you need to get done this weekend or that you have a question about?
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:22, and Lou Manfredini, Lou's first call in just a moment. First, Lou standing by at Channel 9. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm terrific. How about yourself?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good. Thanks.
Is your head about ready to explode over all of the political stuff?
No.
Because when I hear you, and you do a fine job, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm worried that it's like as you get ramped up, and I feel like there's somebody with a bike pump, and, you know, every time you keep, but, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, what about this? And then,
there is a push behind the scenes here, and Ro gets a little of this too. There is a push behind the scenes here, quietly, and because nobody tells me what to do or Ro what to do or anybody what to do here. Mm.
Wait a minute, they tell me what to do.
Well, they should. You're out of control. You're wild. Wild, what was it? Wild?
Something.
Cannon.
Thing.
Cannon, wild. I don't even know what they're trying to
do. Loose cannon.
Loose cannon, that's the word I'm looking for.
I'm a Buffalo Wild Wing.
But there is a concern that I'm too hard on Trump and I'm not hard enough on Hillary. And those who support Trump certainly feel that way. But you know this, Lou, because you've been around here longer than I have. Mm. The minute you go hard on one side, you become that, the enemy of that side. The minute you go hard on the other side, you're the enemy of that side. And somehow those two camps never hear each other.
Right.
So in other words, I'm pounding on Hillary, and I must be. And Sandberg, you know this. You deal with this every day. I pound on Hillary. And,
that's your out of context. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, there you go. That'll be on Nick's show. I start pounding on Hillary, and then you know who I am. I am a right wing nut job.
Right.
I pound on Trump. I'm a liberal weenie. And those happen within 30 minutes of each other, and neither side seems to hear it. So everybody hears what they want. But the point is, I think it's important to have the discussion. And sometimes there's an upside to it. Like yesterday, Mitch McConnell was on.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a spirited discussion, and everybody thought, well, Mitch McConnell hates Steve now. Well, it turns out he and I are getting a picnic in Grand Park this weekend, so that's going to be great.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I think he felt bad when he said, I'm sorry you're confused. He literally was sorry that he thought you were confused.
That was more of a condescending shot, but it's nice that you thought that.
Yeah. Trying to find the glass half full part.
All right, Jim's on the phone. Let's get some work done here. Jim, you're the first caller. What is your issue?
Steve, good morning, guys. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Thank you.
All right, I've got an addition on my house. It's a currently a bedroom with a bathroom, which is not the issue. However, when it rains real heavy, it's got its own sump pump, its own furnace, it's its own entity when it comes to foundation. When it rains real heavy, the sump pump goes off constantly. One after another, as soon as one cycle ends, another one kicks off. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, and the basement, that part of the house is staying dry, correct?
Well, we've gone through several sump pumps over the years. It does stay dry when the sump pump is actively working.
How, okay.
And the other part of the house has no issues whatsoever. The sump pump functions correctly every, you know, it doesn't, it's not as frequent as the addition.
Okay. Why would you have a funky corner for a sump pump, Lou?
Well, I mean, they probably, when they put a room addition on, however they designed it, perhaps didn't want to tie into the existing drain tile and just decided to make it its own entity. It's not uncommon, and depending on the size of the rest of the house, you know, it's perfectly acceptable. I think what I would tell you to do is, on a day that's not raining like today, pay attention, put a piece of tape on the inside of that sump pump pit and find out where the water level is, and then take a hose or a bucket and fill it up and see at what point does the pump engage. Then you can either raise the float on the pump itself, if that's possible, or disconnect the pump from the pipe that it evacuates the water from and raise it by putting it on top of a cinder block. If the sump pump pit holds water, more water, your water table just might be higher over that section of the home. And as long as the water level is a good 12 inches below the top of the pit, that's fine if it holds water. It's not a big deal. And then the pump will engage less often. And I would highly recommend that you put some kind of backup system in as well.
Yeah, I've had a backup pump for a long time after having a failed sump pump in a flooded basement, and it's a brilliant deal.
Well, and I mean, you know, the PermaSeal folks, you know, in their ads always say all pumps fail. And it's true. They all fail. I mean, it's a piece of mechanics, and it will fail, and it's just a question of when. And usually it fails at the absolute worst time. Not like a day like today going, huh, boy, I think my pump doesn't work. I need to go get a new one. It'll be when it's pouring rain.
Sure.
And you've got 6 inches of water in the basement.
We have four. Stand by. I'm looking for the right page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you got it? I don't have the right page.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get it.
No, we'll get it out of the other room where the people are, with the people with the stuff and the stuff that we need. It's being brought into me right now. The stuff that we need is being handed to me by the people in the room.
In a flurry.
This just in, our friend Jim gets an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat following you and allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought
to
you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Those are good people. Call them up at 855-955-HVAC. Staff whiny questions of the day. Let's go to Sandberg.
ComEd put in new smart meters this week in our neighborhood.
Yep.
And I don't know why. I'm concerned that our bill is going to go up because they're going to know really what we're using.
Well, what does that mean? Look at the hacked electricity situation
over
going
there,
on.
Mary. What do you got plugged in at the house?
I know. And as it is, I get those letters, you know, every quarter or whatever that says that my neighbors are more green than me.
Yeah. Now, the smart meter program is actually, it makes a lot of sense what ComEd's doing. Essentially, what it is, it's a warning system for ComEd. Part of what it is that if there's a power outage, these smart meters are a communicative device that let ComEd know exactly where the power outage is. It's also a remote sensor where they can now figure out what your bill is without having meter readers, whether it's a system of driving by and a sensor in a car that just picks up the signal, or it can actually broadcast, depending on some of the applications, back to ComEd directly. So your usage is your usage. I mean, you know, even in the days of the meter readers where you get estimates for a while, once they go and read the meter every 3 months, they adjust it, and all of a sudden you get some whopping bill, or you get a reduced bill because the estimates were off. But the smart meter system actually makes a lot of sense to make ComEd more efficient and better able to respond to power outages.
Whiny question number two. Let's go to Dave Innit.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Excuse me?
There's your out of context.
Yeah. Is there anything?
Is it plugged into Mary's smart meter?
It might be.
No wonder her bill's through the roof. Dave's got a buckthorn reputation, as we both know.
Where is it, Dave?
It's all around the perimeter of my yard. I mean, it's, I don't mind some of it because it does kind of help provide a little privacy. Right. But it's going crazy.
Is it climbing up the fence?
Listen, Lou, have you been to Dave's house?
I have not.
If you go to Dave's house.
The problem is, it's when you get to Dave's house and you get to the front gate, you know, it's like 3 miles until you get to the house from the front gate.
He literally lives in a forest with critters that dance to Disney tunes.
Right.
And you have to get off, you fly in, and then you have to take a riverboat tour to get to a canoe that you paddle up to his front door where dancing critters, some of them animated, frolic in his yard.
Right, and what does he serve you? A kale salad. You make just, all that effort, you're starving, you want a cheeseburger, want
He literally is showing me on his phone right now a picture of a deadly cougar.
It's a coyote.
Oh, this was yesterday, 10 o'clock in the morning.
In his driveway.
But the butler's a nice touch at Dave's house.
So, no ideas on the buckthorn.
And the buckthorn has moved to civilization.
Yeah. Is it climbing up the fence?
In some spots. But it's mainly like sprouting new little trees under the plants that are already there.
Right. So, the buckthorn is very difficult to get back. You have to cut it, pull it, and the thing is if you treat it with something, you're going to kill everything else around it as well. So you have to be selective as to how you, in the areas where you don't want it, you literally have to pull it. And
are we still talking about the buckthorn?
No.
Okay. Because this is great conversation.
What is a buckthorn?
You know that I'm number two with priests and nuns, right?
Not anymore.
I love you, Lou.
Texters. 630, you never pound on Hillary? Nobody does. Oh, stop it. That's not funny. Question for Lou from the 847. I stain my deck with an oil-based stain. Can I come back and put a clear coat on top of it?
No.
All right, moving on. And don't you ever bring it up again to Lou.
No. When you use a deck stain, you don't. If you put any kind of clear coat, it's funny. I'm talking about decks this morning on WGN TV. Clear coats over the top, it's like a floor wax, and it'll look all nice. Oh, look at the water beating. But it peels, and then dirt gets underneath it, and it makes it worse. So do not do that, please.
Lou, which political sign should I put in my nice front lawn? Trump, Clinton, or Nixon? Sign the bear.
Nixon.
Okay, Nixon. I think Nixon is the safest play right now.
Right. At this point, he's electable.
Question. All right, last question. This comes from me, and it's a very serious, studied question. So when you go out and you're grilling, right, and then maybe you take like a curious walk around the back of the house because you're not paying that much attention to the back of the house.
Right.
There, the meter box, the electrical box, the gears, the wiring, the secret stash to the house, I go, and the box is wide open. The wiring's wide open. It's exposed. I'm going,
that's not good.
There's some trouble here.
Around by the meter?
Yeah. So I close the box up. But what I'm thinking is Eric and Kathy tapping into my lines?
Right.
Are they tapping
they're
into my lines to get something?
They're taking your electricity and plugging it in over the mix.
That's what I thought might be the case.
Yeah. On all seriousness, if that was over by where the meter itself,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's those wires that connect to that meter, that's an unprotected circuit where you really have to be careful messing around with that because there's no time for crying if you catch one of those wires.
So, in other words, close the box, call the company.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to be leaving now while Andre and Dave take over the rest of the show. All right, buddy. Have a good show tomorrow.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lou.
Lou's coming up on Channel 9 in a few minutes, and thank you again to our friends at American Weathermakers.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Midwest Medical Examiner's Office concludes Prince died of an accidental drug overdose, self-administered fentanyl. Fentanyl, an opioid painkiller prescribed millions of times each year, is also available on the black market. The night before his death, Prince's reps called an expert in pain medication addiction.
Not an unexpected but a sad twist in the Prince story. The opioid addiction. Again, when a celebrity dies, you don't talk about the celebrity death for the sake of just titillation. You talk about it with the hope that somebody might learn from it. And the opioid addiction in this country is not being talked about enough. We've asked Dr. Mostyn, nice enough to join us again to do that, and we'll get to him in just a second. Mary's here. Yeah, the problem is, and you guys all know this, and we'll pick this up with Dr. Mostyn, but the problem is if you have an injury, and Prince, apparently this all started with Prince with severe shin splints and broken toes and various other things, from diving off speakers and dancing in heels forever, because he's 5 feet tall. Or
and
was
his
5 feet tall.
Hip, too. He had the bad
screwed
hip
up
thing.
His hip. Mm-hmm. So you start taking it as pain meds,
but then you continue your routine, or you continue, you know, the pain meds make you feel better. So you keep jumping off stuff. So you aggravate the injury, and then you're taking more pain meds, and then you're taking other types, and one stacks on the other, and then you're an addict, and then you're dead. It's a very bad line. So when you're a celebrity, you have access to stuff you shouldn't have access to. And it's not just about money. People want to do your favors. So the investigation there will continue as well. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father. Too bold. Maybe you're just like my mother. She's never satisfied. 651, Dr. Kevin Most joins us on a Friday. Thanks for taking the time, Doc. I know how busy you are.
Oh, no problem.
Terrible story, but again, if we don't learn from when famous people die, maybe we're not paying enough attention. So Prince dies, and everybody, I mentioned this at the time, and you know, I fully admit I'm wrong about this, but I'm stunned that it was legitimately a drug overdose, because I think we need to put it in that category and not try to shield it or rationalize it, as we all tend to do when it's pills. We think of pills differently, don't we?
Well, you do, and you know, you talked about this. Here we get a celebrity that dies and it makes the news, but yet people need to realize that we have about 30,000 deaths a year due to opioid overdoses.
30,000?
30,000. 85 people a day die from opioid overdoses. So, you know, you're starting to hear even the politicians talk about this, because this is an epidemic. Prince, you know, unfortunately passed away from an overdose of one of the most potent, if not the most potent, narcotic opioids, you know, fentanyl.
And yeah, what is fentanyl?
Yeah, fentanyl is it's just a synthetic opioid. So it's like a super, super strong Vicodin. It's a very, it's 100 times stronger than morphine.
What would something like that be appropriately used for?
Yeah, the appropriate use for it is very, very narrow, mainly for cancer patients who can't tolerate opioids or have what we call breakthrough pain. So in other words, they're at the highest dose of regular pain medication, and then we give them just a little bit of fentanyl, usually in a lozenger form, so that they're not taking it consistently. Some people need it for chronic pain, chronic cancer patients. So we have what we call Duragesic, and it's a patch that you put on and you wear it for 3 days and then take it off.
So if you're taking fentanyl, you must have stepped it up to a point over a certain period of time, or is that not true?
No. Fentanyl sometimes can be used immediately. We use it during surgeries often, and we use it sometimes right after surgery.
But as an addict?
As an addict, absolutely. You have stepped it up. If you started with fentanyl, boy, you got there pretty quickly. But most people, it's going to be that they started using just over prescription Vicodin, and then kind of went to heroin, and then usually out to fentanyl.
Now, even if you're Prince and you can call in a lot of favors, you've got to have some help getting this drug, I would assume.
Well, there's a huge black market for it. A lot of it is stolen out of pharmacies. There's actually, you know, we talk about meth labs. Well, there's actually fentanyl labs as well. But and unfortunately, a lot of physicians, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are physicians that unfortunately write this drug inappropriately, and then it gets in the hands of a patient who really doesn't need it and then sells it on the street.
Boy, so let me ask you this, Doc. This might be a crazy question, and perhaps it's just how these drugs affect people differently, but you hear about these musicians, and I don't mean to generalize, but you hear about people. I think Belinda Carlisle came out a few weeks ago, Steve, and she said she had a 30-year cocaine addiction that she successfully...
30 years, that's a career.
Yeah. I mean, is it just that certain drugs affect your body differently, depending on who you are and your body makeup?
Yeah, but you just talked about cocaine. Between cocaine and the opioids, those are the two most highly addictive medicines that we have. Some people who have a tendency for addiction, a single dose of a narcotic can tip them to a point of continued abuse.
Because you've got that trigger in your body.
Exactly. Yep.
So when it comes to, here, I talked to, again, a couple of friends who stayed in touch with Prince long after I didn't. And they were surprised, disappointed, all of those things as well. Everybody knew that he took some meds for injuring himself on stage. Nobody knew that it had continued. And nobody knew that the continued performances could go on in the state of addiction that he may have been in. All that remains to be seen what truly happened here. But what we do know is an addiction expert from California couldn't fly in. His son, who works for him, was flown in overnight. He was the doctor on the scene at Paisley Park. and went in, and that's when they all found Prince in this elevator where he'd been dead for several hours with apparently a bottle of prescription drugs in his pocket. So if a guy is at that state, and if when the plane landed in Peoria, the emergency landing in Peoria was hastened by the fact that he had taken this again, can we assume that this was pain meds that turned into the addiction and it was not some, hey, I love getting high on this stuff, or is that too big a jump?
Well, it's a jump, but it's a very common jump. You know, people who have never had that don't know what the feeling of that medication is, and therefore they don't go out to seek it unless someone tells them about it. But once they've had that drug and they say, wow, that drug really makes me feel good, and not only did it take away my pain, but they also get this sense of euphoria with it. So then they want to keep chasing that. And you got to remember, some of these drugs are very short-acting. Fentanyl, very short-acting drug if you take it in the lozenger form or IV form. So it's not like they're high through the entire day. They just get that high, they get that feeling of euphoria, takes away some of their pain, and then, you know, they go back to normal, and then they chase it again.
So it wears off, and you think, well, it made me feel good, and I'm fine, and you're in no position to decide that you're fine at that point, I'm sure.
Correct. And like you said, you know, that sometimes it will often start with that prescription pain medicine for a legitimate use. You know, you break your ankle, you break a toe, we give you those. 260 million prescriptions for narcotic opioids were given last year. That's enough for everyone in the entire United States to have their own bottle of it. So we definitely use this. Physicians now are being pushed to really stop using it or to start using and thinking of other alternatives for pain besides going to narcotics. And it's very, very closely monitored now. Every state I have, there's a website that I can go on and I can put your name and your birth date in there. And it'll tell me every narcotic pain medication you've gotten and where.
So let's break this down to where it matters most, and that's the people listening right now. There's no question that in the audience, as big as this audience is, that there are people right now who are struggling with high-dose narcotics addictions who, you know, maybe they realize it, maybe they don't. And again, just don't oversimplify here. But if you're taking more than the doctor-recommended dose every day, you've got a problem.
You do. And the other big thing is people, let's say the doctor gives you pain medication for a broken toe. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, you don't need it, but you still have all those pills. Everyone hold on to those. I'm not going to throw those away. I'm not going to bring those back in. I'm going to keep these. And I can tell you that the theft from narcotics out of the house is huge. So people think that, oh, I'm going to save this for later. And a kid in the neighborhood who happens to be at your house or your son, someone is going to steal that and either use it or put it on the street.
You know, this reminds me of driving while you're tired, because for years I'd be dozing off driving. And then I got, you know, diagnosed with sleep apnea. And, you know, you do something about that, as, you know, millions of people who have sleep apnea are driving around. And somebody said, you might as well be driving drunk. Yeah. But you're rationalized. You're rationalized. So when you start taking pain meds because you have a legitimate medical situation, but then you start abusing the pain meds, here's where you got to go, kids. You're no different than a heroin addict down the street at some point. So it's not okay. And you got to have somebody in your life that loves you enough to try to get you to help yourself. They can't fix it for you, but you got to have some sort of sense of self-respect and preservation for whatever you have going on in your life to stop it.
It is. It's awareness. It's awareness from families, you know, looking at their children as well as the adults who are abusing it. And right now, I'll tell you, it's such a problem right now that, you know, we started, there's a medication called Narcan, which will reverse the effects of the opioid almost immediately. So someone that has overdosed, we give them Narcan, we can save their life. To a point now where we in DuPage County, our coroner, Rich Jorgensen, has pushed so that the officers, the cops, the police officers have the Narcan, because they're often the first ones on the scene. And by the time the paramedics get there, the child or the individual is dead. So, you know, it's scary when we get to a point where we know it is so bad that we're giving the reversal medicine to so many people.
How dangerous is that, too? Someone knowingly can say, oh, you know, I'm going to take this, and you know what? They can just give me the shot, they can give me the Narcan, and I'll be okay.
And, Andrea, that's a very big concern, because there's some states right now that are going to allow Narcan to be bought essentially over the counter. So parents of kids who are abused that are trying to get them through this will have that medication. Individuals will have that medication. It's going to save lives, and hopefully it'll get them to a point where they can get treatment. But it is a huge concern across the country.
Last word for me. If you're a parent and your kid is taking pills, it's not okay because they're pills and not a needle. it's not okay because they're pills and not weed or whatever delineation you made because of your life history or mine. This generation, you know, I'm 55 years old. My generation looks at pill taking differently. We've got to stop looking at pill taking differently. It's all drugs, kids. Drugs administered in appropriate dosages are perfectly fine under a doctor's care. It's a great way to facilitate your life when they're needed. But when they're needed, at the dose given, under doctor's care. That's it, Doc. Anything beyond that, any violation of that, and you're a drug addict.
Yeah, I think you said it well. And, you know, when you're in the doctor's office and you say you have pain, don't exaggerate your pain so that he gives you the strongest medication. Let's make sure that we're taking appropriate medications for the conditions that we have.
Thanks for the extra time. Of course, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And we look forward to seeing you on Monday for a great annual golf outing that Doc Most and his amazing team put together. We'll tell you more about that next week.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Doc.
The mighty Blackhawks. 7:13. You know what, Dave? It all comes down to your parents. You grow up in this life, you have some success, you have a lot of success, you're one of the best ever do whatever it is you do, and you're still a good person. You're not affected by it. You're not a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? That's your mom and dad. It's your parents, your family. People around you raised you right. Right? It doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Nope.
You don't know why I'm bringing this up?
Why is that, Steve?
Bob Verdi's on the line. You ever known anybody better? Is there a better sports writer than Bob Verdi?
Nope.
No, there's not. And is Bob Verdi one of the best guys you've ever met?
Yep.
Well, I don't even know that we need to talk to him now. 19-time Illinois Sports Writer of the Year, Bob Verdi on the phone. Always a pleasure, Bob. How are you?
Steve, how are you?
I felt like we already did the interview and you weren't even in it.
Well, you're very kind.
Congratulations. The 2016 National Hockey Hall of Fame NHL Media Awards have been announced. And where will, in the trophy room, where will you put this one?
I don't know. I think I think you get a jacket, too. I can always use that.
The Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award for Excellence in Hockey Journalism. When you went over and joined the Blackhawks a few years ago and started writing this blog, where was hockey in relation to your favorite sports before you were around it every day?
Well, this is like my second world at hockey. That was my first job with the Tribune,
right?
24 teams ago, you know, it was original six. And then I got the general column at the Tribune, and then I went and chased the sun for several years with writing golf. And John McDonough took over, and we started talking. And this one's should be shared with him because he kind of brought me out of mothballs there and started me writing hockey again.
Bob, again, congratulations. When you first walked into the Blackhawks dressing room, and I know Bobby Hull was there and Stan Mikita, but who were some of the guys on that team that you still look back on with great fondness today?
Well, you just named two of them. And, of course, not long after I started there, actually my first year was the rookie year of Tony Esposito and Keith Magnuson, may he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a group. I was spoiled. My first job really, you know, was hockey, and I thought, well, this is, everybody's going to be like the hockey people, you know? Not just the players. I mean, the trainers, the coaches, the referees, the broadcasters, the writers. It's just the unique family kind of slash culture still exists, even though the salaries have gone, you know, through the roof.
What do you make of that? You know, I wasn't kidding when I said it's your parents. Is that a family thing? Is that why hockey players still seem to be, as a group, the best to deal with of professional athletes?
Yeah, I'm not imagining that, am I, Steve? I've heard that from a lot of people. I mean, I've done all sports. I'm not knocking any other sports. I just think there's a certain respect for the game and each other and the history in hockey that that exists, and I can't. Golf reminds me a little of it. Some of the guys on the golf tour, and I think that in part is because of who came before. You know, Nicklaus and Palmer.
Sure.
You know, carrying the baton for Byron Nelson and Ho, you know what I mean? This respect gets passed down, and I really find it in hockey. I mean, you bump into Wayne Gretzky on the street, and he's going to be the nicest guy in the world, not because he's being photographed or because it's on tape or anything. It's because it's Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
It's something with the hockey people. Anyway, this is a long-winded way of saying I was spoiled.
No, you don't do long-winded. That's one of the reasons I love having you on. Bob Verdi, nobody ever better. Congratulations. The NHL Hall of Fame Media Awards have been announced. And, Bob, we're thinking about putting Addition onto it as a ward room. Or you could just send it over to my house and I'll hold it for you. I got plenty of room.
You got all golf clubs in your room.
So, everything good this summer? You got big plans? You're just going to hang out? You got about 3 weeks before you got to get back to work seriously here.
Well, we got the convention coming up.
Right.
And going to go to the awards. I expect some awards for the Blackhawks in Las Vegas on June 22. Yeah. Patrick Kane, Panarin, they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And boy, don't you love the idea that they got some extra rest? Man, I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so conflicted here. I don't want to rush summer by a single second, but I can't wait for Blackhawks hockey.
I think those boys are going to come back in September with a real mission. And I think they'll be angry and they'll be rested. And, it's such a fine line. Look at the first round. Steve and Dave, the first round, Anaheim, L.A., Chicago, all out. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So crazy, the NBC executives have all quit while they were crying.
Yeah. I thought it would have been in the Blackhawks' best interest to have St. Louis win the Stanley Cup this year, because that would be one less team you got to worry about next year. I did want to mention, Bob, and it's a sad note, but the loss of Tom Lysiak this week. I know he was a guy that when I was first covering the Blackhawks, he was part of the team. I know you were around him a lot. What remembrance do you have of Tom Lysiak?
Well, I go back to what we were talking about just a little while ago, this personality that the league and the teams and the players seem to have. Tom was a heck of a player, but he was... You know, it's just a joy to be around. Everybody's favorite teammate, one of the guys together, played hard, both ends of the rink, but just a solid guy. And, he's been suffering for a couple of years, and sadly he's gone.
Bob, all the best to you, and congratulations on the latest. And we'll catch up around convention time, if not before.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care. Thank you. Bob Verdi. I love how he said he had to be taken out of mothballs. Who is he kidding? He's unbelievable. The book I want to... Here's one of the greatest summation of Bob Verdi I could ever say. The book I want to read from Bob Verdi are stories he can't tell. And the reason he's a great guy is he'd never write that book.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. I have a book on my bookshelf in my office at home, the Bob Verdi Collection. And I believe it was... The foreword was written by Mike Royko.
Well, that's not too bad.
No.
Those two guys worked out okay, didn't they?
I'd say they did... Yeah. Just fine.
Yeah, they had a decent dry run. Mm-hmm. It's 7:20, and Mary's here with traffic. And believe it or not, Mary, I'm going to get the show back on time this morning.
All right.
Yeah. But not yet. Yesterday afternoon, Hillary Clinton made a speech that I didn't think it'd be a very good idea to begin. As a matter of fact, Eric Adelstein was in here yesterday, who knows the Clintons well, and was talking about it as well, talking about how she's got to really define herself and identify herself, not allow herself to be defined by Trump and not just go after Trump. But I got to say, I was impressed with her people in the way they crafted this speech to point out what I think anybody who is in the middle on this, and that is you got to picture Donald J. Trump as the most powerful man on earth. Things he said so far, things he may or may not be able to do. Trump, or I should say Hillary, laid it out pretty specifically yesterday. Just in general, talking about how this could be a mistake that we will regret forever.
Making Donald Trump our commander-in-chief would be a historic mistake, and it would undo so much of the work that Republicans and Democrats alike have done. And it would fuel an ugly narrative about who we are. that we're fearful, not confident, that we want to let others determine our future for us instead of shaping our own destiny. That's not the America I know and love. So yes, we have a lot of work to do to keep our country secure, and we need to do better by American families and American workers, and we will. But don't let anyone tell you that America isn't great. Donald Trump's got America all wrong. We are a big-hearted, fair-minded country.
It's a great point to make because it directly counters this. We're in terrible shape and we have no hope and the future is beyond dim, a point that he's historically been saying for 30 years. There's tape of him in 1987 saying the same thing when Reagan was in the White House. Moving on, Donald Trump's thin skin is a very big problem. And she addressed that yesterday as well. And she also talked about how obsessed he is with tyrants. Here's a little bit of that.
And I have to say, I don't understand Donald's bizarre fascination with dictators and strongmen who have no love for America. He praised China for the Tiananmen Square massacre. He said it showed strength. He said you've got to give Kim Jong-un credit for taking over North Korea, something he did by murdering everyone he saw as a threat, including his own uncle, which Donald described gleefully like he was recapping an action movie. And he said if he were grading Vladimir Putin as a leader, he'd give him an A. Now, I will leave it to the psychiatrist to explain his affection for tyrants. I just wonder how anyone could be so wrong about who America's real friends are. Because it matters. If you don't know exactly who you're dealing with, men like Putin will eat your lunch.
The insult culture of Trump and how Trump will name call you into submission, also a big problem. I thought she handled this pretty well, too.
Just like being interviewed on the same episode of 60 Minutes as Putin was, is not the same thing as actually dealing with Putin. So the stakes in global statecraft are infinitely higher and more complex than in the world of luxury hotels. We all know the tools Donald Trump brings to the table: bragging, mocking, composing nasty tweets. I'm willing to bet he's writing a few right now.
And Trump summed it up last night. He made a long speech last night, not all of it about Hillary, but he certainly did talk about Hillary last night. And, you know, you would expect that there'd be a barrage of tweets yesterday and today, and he may have more to come today. But he now seems to be fascinated with this pounding on her over whether or not she will go to jail and this Justice Department conspiracy that must be going on with the Obama White House, because how else could she still be in the race? Here's the Trumpster.
Anything Obama wants, she's going forward with, because you know why? She doesn't want to go to jail. That's why, folks. That's why. Remember, Hillary Clinton used to hate Obama. She used to hate him. Bill Clinton hated him. Bill Clinton hated him. He called Bill Clinton a racist. Do you remember that? Bill Clinton hated him. And Hillary Clinton hated Obama. Now it's, yes, sir, Mr. President. Sir, yes, sir. What would you like? What would you like me to say here, sir?
It's also called politics. I mean, think about
President Obama never called Bill Clinton a racist.
No.
It did not happen. Again, the fact that I'm in a position where I'm defending Hillary Clinton seems like a parallel universe to me, because she's got a world of problems to deal with. I'm not saying I'm voting for her. I know you want to take a picture of me defending Hillary Clinton.
I was going to start recording you saying that.
I'm not prepared to vote for Hillary Clinton, but I can tell you right now, if by law I could only pick one of two, I'd vote for her twice at this point because she'd do less damage to this country than he would. Now, if you've already made up your mind on the right or the left, I can't talk to you. But for the 40% of you in the middle, just think about it. 7:30, your news is next with the big story on 720 WGN.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
Well, if you know anything about me, you know I don't subscribe to the Make America Great Again theory. It's let's make America better, the same way we make America or I should say, we make Chicago better every day. And another good announcement from the city coming today is there's new Divvy stations covering new neighborhoods on the south and west sides of the city. I believe, and we'll get confirmation on this, I believe we're the largest bike share in North America now.
I think we are. Bikes everywhere. Love it.
Bikes everywhere is right, and Sean Whitell is standing by. Sean, let me get your title right, Sean. Assistant Commissioner, Citywide Services Section, Project Development Division. Also the award winner for the largest business card in the city of Chicago.
Exactly. So, no, you're actually right. We're really excited. We are, Divvy is expanding. We announced yesterday 85 new stations in the city of Chicago. We're going to be expanding and adding new stations on the south side, the southwest side, and the west side, as well as adding some stations in Rogers Park. We're also excited. We're building a network. For the first time, we're going to become a regional system. So we partnered on a state grant with Evanston and Oak Park. A couple of years ago, we got those funds, and we are going to be adding stations in Evanston and Oak Park this year for the first time. So we'll have our first suburban locations this year, too.
Let's go through a little Divvy 101 here. So I've never done it before. Sure. I go up to the rack. What do I need to do?
Sure. There's a couple different options. If you want to just try it once, you can go up to one of the stations, swipe your credit card, and for $9.95, you can have unlimited trips of 30 minutes or less for 24 hours. If you're more committed and you want to try it and you know you're going to use it, you can actually go to our website, which is divvybikes.com. You can buy an annual membership. That is $99, and that allows you to take unlimited trips of 30 minutes or less for an entire year.
That's pretty crazy. $100 for a year?
Option. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So you pay that back in 10 trips.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the other thing, you know, we realize that while that is, you know, that sounds reasonable and economical for a lot of people, we have an option, a program called Divvy for Everyone that we rolled out last year in July, which is for individuals and families who are below 300% of the federal poverty level, they can actually get a Divvy membership through our Divvy for Everyone program for $5 for a year.
Yeah, that's great. That's and, nice. So, yeah, so there's access
really
for everybody.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sean, I love the fact that the Divvy bike stations are popping up all over, and especially, you know, in areas like the west and the south sides too, where they, mm-hmm. they need them as well. How do you find, if you get a Divvy and you're on a Divvy, how do you know where to take it? I mean, is there an app? You know, does it beep or something?
Yeah, there's an app. Each station has a map showing nearby stations and stations that are within a 5, 10, 15 minute ride. And then there's also there's a couple different apps. We recently partnered with Transit App, which is an app that has a lot of, it has CTA data, has Uber, but it also has Divvy data, and you can actually rent a bike through the Transit App. So you can go up to a station, use the app. You never have to even touch the kiosk. You can rent a bike right there. And if you're a member and forget your key, you can actually use the Transit App to check out a bike even without your key. There's that tool, and then we also have another app called Cycle Finder, and you can see the status on either Transit App or Cycle Finder of every station. It'll show you how many bikes are available and how many docks are available.
So the program's been well thought out. It's well run. What bumps in the road have you hit, though? Is it just people, you know, going, well, I don't know if I want the bike rack in front of my place, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a learning experience for everyone, but we found, we did a user survey recently and found that over nearly 70% of our members said that they'd actually patronize a business. They'd be more likely to patronize a business if there's a Divvy station nearby. So we think, you know, we're obviously, we especially had pushback when we first launched in June of 2013. As people have seen it and it becomes more ubiquitous, there's been a lot less pushback, and people and businesses, restaurants understand this is actually going to bring people to my doorstep.
The other thing, too, is you have no worry about biker gangs, because it's very hard to be mean or dangerous on a Robin's Egg Blue Divvy bike.
Exactly. And yeah. You know what?
They'll just be in a better mood.
That's right. And they're big bikes. They're fairly heavy, and they're intended to go slow. And that's really by design, because it's all about – it's actually really safety is important to us, too. And so we wanted, the bikes are 3 speeds, but if you want to go fast, you got to work for it.
And it's BYOH, right? Bring your own helmet?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There is no helmet law in Illinois, but we do strongly encourage people to use a helmet when they're riding Divvy or riding their own bikes.
And if you don't have a bike helmet, maybe you got a football helmet from high school you could wear, you know, something.
Exactly.
Something. Exactly.
Hockey helmet, whatever you need. Sean, nice work by you, and our best to the mayor as well, but congratulations again. We're not making Chicago great again. We're making Chicago better.
That's right.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. Sean, enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right, 7:52, a couple of catch-ups. I should have asked Sean this when we had him on the phone, but Texter brought this up. What is 300% of the federal poverty level? Because he said if you're within 300, under 300% of the federal poverty level, you can get an annual Divvy membership for $5. If you're a family of four, it's $72,900, three times the federal poverty level for a family of four. So if you're a family of four, you could get a Divvy annual membership for $5 per. That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Now, if you're a single in Chicago, and this is one of the original intents of the program, as you explained it to me, they wanted to make it, you know, accessible to students and other things.
Right.
300% of the federal poverty level is $35,640 a year, and that would basically include every student. So students can get the Divvy membership for $5. It's a good gift idea.
It's a great gift idea. I mean, yeah, and it's great for short trips, too. And a lot of people, as Dave said, too, rented them for Bike the Drive.
Yeah. It's a nice job to the mayor and his staff. Yeah. And, all of that. All right, one other thing that came up from the texters. Yeah, the Blue Angel story, this terrible story. We lost a Blue Angel pilot and a big story.
Very sad.
But then I was confused, and this texter brought it up as well. Mm-hmm. There was a story yesterday as well about a stunt flyer who ejected safely, and the plane landed almost intact. That wasn't the Blue Angels.
No, these are two separate incidents. The pilot of the Blue Angels jet was killed. That was during a practice for a weekend air show. This was a couple hours after a Thunderbird's F-16 crashed following a flyover at the Air Force Academy commencement ceremony, which is where President Obama was. But the Blue Angels pilot died from injuries suffered in that crash. That was in Tennessee. The Thunderbird's pilot safely ejected. That's the one where we've seen the images on the TV. He did safely eject and literally walked away from this crash before that plane went down. That was in Colorado.
And we talked also about the tragedy in Texas and the Fort Hood soldiers that were lost in this flooding thing.
Yeah, that was extremely sad.
Terrible flooding affecting all parts of Europe as well. I mean, we've had this beautiful weather stretch here, and other parts of the world are just getting slammed. And if you've ever been to Paris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
You may have noted that the entrance to the Louvre is sort of underneath ground level.
It's crazy. Yeah, the triangular shapes, the IMP shapes, they look like triangles. You have to go through the triangle, you're right, and then go downstairs, down the escalator, and then there's the Louvre.
Geographically, if you think of street level, as you enter the Louvre, you're probably entering the Louvre itself, the artistic, you know, the display part of the Louvre where you select the different floors and things.
Yeah.
What, a floor below ground? Two floors below ground?
Easily two floors below ground.
Right. So that would obviously be a problem if there was flooding.
Right.
Well, with flash flooding all over Paris, they've closed the Louvre. The Louvre is closed, and they're moving the art upstairs.
Yeah, because
how easy could that be?
I know.
Somebody grab Mona.
Right. Yeah, and that is no easy task. It's the Louvre, for goodness sake. But yeah, that's just literally steps from the Seine River, too.
Yes.
Which is at way over its crest.
The warning that the museum area is under is the second highest level, and floods could have a significant impact on buildings and people. Actually, the Mona Lisa is on one of the upper floors, so she'll be fine for now.
Oh, sure. So we hope.
Yes.
You've seen the Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it the weirdest thing? It's
behind... completely underwhelming in person.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but it is.
No, it completely is. It's smaller than I thought it would be, and it's surrounded by plexiglass. So when you take a picture, you're taking a picture basically of the Mona Lisa, of the reflection.
Of the reflection. And it's nice. It's a nice painting.
Yeah.
It's a nice painting of a lady.
It's cool.
Hey, lady.
See.
No, the historical significance obviously is what it's about.
Yeah.
But when you go in and you're expecting to be wowed by the Mona Lisa, you're mostly wowed by the number of people who are standing around the Mona Lisa as you try to see the Mona
Lisa.
Hundreds
of people in that room packed around the tiny painting.
One of my favorite pictures I ever saw of the Louvre, because it's an unbelievably fascinating place, obviously, if you ever get a chance. And we have such a great museum city here that, you know, most of us who live here, we never exploit, you know. I mean, when was the last time you've gone into our art museums?
I went about 2 weeks ago for the Van Gogh.
Okay, not you,
exhibit.
The others. When was the last time the rest of us have gone into, you know, the Modern Art Museum right down the street?
I had dinner there about
Not you, the other people.
Ago.
So the point being, you go into these museums and you go, I could spend all day here. Yeah, you could. And then you're going to need to spend another day and a day after that. And then I don't know about you walk by stuff and you go, well, that probably was cool, but I don't have time to look at it. You know, big deal. It's 600 years ago. I'll get to it.
Or you don't want to wait in the line with all those people.
Lots of lines. Lots of lines. But they're saving everything at the Louvre to the best of their ability from flooding that hasn't happened yet. The other thing is that underground mall there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of mall, that line that where you go into the Louvre.
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
But anyway, it's flooding in Texas. It's flooding in Paris. It's flooding all over. And we have to put up with 85 and sunny.
It's a tough gig. It's a tough gig. Anybody going to Paris, though, too, by the way? Because the Louvre is so big and it takes you days to go through. It's like the Smithsonian. There's a museum called the Museum d'Orsay, which is wonderful as well. If you don't have a lot of time.
Is that the stained glass place?
Yeah. Stained glass, and then they have Monet and Degas, so that might be a nice alternative.
Did you have dinner there, too?
No, I didn't have dinner there. I don't think I did. Maybe a snack.
7:58. I want to play this clip. President Obama is on his goodbye tour of some sorts, taking in as much as he can of the things he wants to take in, making his speeches. Eventually, you would assume campaigning for Clinton and various other things. But here's a clip of something that maybe didn't play so well at home last night when he talked about how he's going to miss Air Force One.
I have to tell you, some days I spend more time with the Air Force than my own family. Especially on Air Force One. You take good care of me. You are always on time. You never lose my luggage. I don't have to take off my shoes before I get on. So I'm really going to miss Air Force One.
He said, oh, going to miss Air Force One? Oh, really? He said, Michelle last night. Oh, going to miss the plane, huh? Yeah, okay. You know, but in a couple of years, when you're in line at Midway and you turn around and you go, is that President Obama waiting with his shoes in his hands? Yeah, sure.
He didn't get TSA pre-check.
It's a minute before 8, back with your news next. Then Dean, it's 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or kiss me good.
Dean Richards joins me in just a second, and here's your quiz. If you want to go to the final performance of Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda in the lead, it's July 8th in New York on Broadway. How much do you want to spend on your tickets?
$50.
You're going to need a little more than that.
What are they going for, like $1,000?
$10,000 a piece.
No.
$10,000 a piece for tickets to the final performance of Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda, in the lead on Broadway.
But Hamilton's coming here to Chicago this fall?
Right.
Is it with him?
No.
Oh, it's a different Lin-Manuel?
No.
It's a different Hamilton?
No, actually, Walter Jacobson is going to be playing the lead role.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, Walter is, you know, in great shape, man. He's not a kid anymore, and he's in great shape. I mean, he can pull this off.
He can rap.
Yeah. Yeah, you knew that, didn't you, Dean, that Walter Jacobson would be taking over the lead role in Hamilton here?
I had heard that Pam Zekman had a lead on the role, but I'm not surprised that Walter edged her out.
He can sing, he can dance, he can report. What? At 8:13, we have many things to talk about, as always. We've spent some time with Dr. Kevin Most this morning on the official cause of Prince's death, but Dean will address that. The Taylor Swift, Calvin Harris.
Did she get married?
Yes, she did. She was crazy. And now she's divorced.
Married Will Smith, and I didn't know. She's
crazy. I just talked about the ticket price for the Hamilton show, $10,000 a seat. Does that seem high?
You know what's puzzling? That's ridiculous, of course. That's going to be the final. The show's going to go on in New York. That's the last day for Lin-Manuel. But what's crazy is they have not announced when tickets are going to go on sale here in Chicago yet.
What do you make of that?
I think they're waiting until the Tony Awards next week.
Okay.
When Hamilton probably will win a record-breaking amount of awards.
I don't think you need maximum hype for this show, though, do you?
I don't think you need that sort of thing, but I think the ticket prices are going to be a little on the high side.
Got it.
So this, winning, I forget what it's up for, like 12 Tony Awards something.
The reason you get your own talk show is chicks, liquor, and free tickets. And I don't like paying for tickets to stuff. So what's a Broadway ticket cost now in New York? I don't even know.
If you a regular show or this show? A regular show, you could pay anywhere between $100 and $300 for decent seats.
And it could be any show. In other words, you could be walking into a bomb.
You could be walking into a bomb. But let's say it's, you know, it's like one of the hit musicals. Hamilton is a complete anomaly. There's never been a show like this on Broadway where if you could get a seat over the last year that this has been open, tickets were somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $1,000 to get a decent seat for the show. The tickets have been virtually ungettable.
Yeah, they're all secondary market stuff, right?
Right, exactly.
Hey, by the way, the question came up yesterday about this. The secondary market tickets, and I don't know, I'm going to put you on a spot here, but is there anything in particular that people need to be looking for in these secondary, all these secondary market dealers, not just StubHub, but they're all pretty legit, aren't they?
Some are and some aren't. I don't even know how to tell somebody to, you know, what to look out for with this. I get stories, I'll bet I get two or three emails from people every week asking, what should I do? I bought tickets from some kind of secondary market, whether it's a big established company or just, you know, they go on Craigslist or something and they wind up buying counterfeit tickets. They go to the box office, you know, to go see whatever show or concert, and they're turned away because the tickets are fake.
Right. The barcode doesn't show.
Yeah. So I don't even know how you protect yourself against that. Not especially a big fan of any kind of ticket brokering. I know that for some people, you know, you do it because a client needs tickets and you don't care how much you're spending, but it is very, very risky. I had somebody this week, I think it was Hamilton in New York, said that they bought tickets through a ticket broker, went to New York, went to the box office, turned away at the box office.
That's nice. So you do the airplane, the hotel,
yep.
You got your big night in New York planned, and you can't get into the show.
Yeah, I think it's super risky to do something like
that. Well, there's liability involved with big companies who promote their product, like StubHub and other places, so I would think those are the safer venues.
I think those are the more reputable ones, because if there's a problem, it's easily traceable back. If you don't have some way to, you know, I think probably a good red flag is if you don't have some way to trace back to somebody, and generally Craigslist does not provide that. Places like that do not provide things. If you're going to what is essentially a classified ad to buy a ticket like that, you don't have any recourse if anything goes bad. So I think the StubHubs of the world, the larger companies that have established refund policies, you know, problems, 24-hour hotlines, etc., you're probably a little safer than that.
I just picked up two tickets to Lynn Hamilton Miranda's final performance on Broadway for $8 a piece. I don't know. I just got lucky.
Probably lucky.
I'm sure they're legit tickets.
Yeah, because he changed his name to Lynn Hamilton.
Lynn Miranda Hamilton, Frozen Glosh and Farfik Nugent. It's 8:17. We'll come back and Dean will review some movies as well, because he can, because it's Friday.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Dean rejoins us from Channel 9. So Taylor Swift is still single?
Yes, been a full day now, which is a record for her.
Right.
Not being in a relationship.
A committed relationship for over a day.
Committed relationship. We don't know what happened last night.
Right.
We do know that Calvin.
I bet it was crazy.
Calvin Harris, her boyfriend for a record-breaking 15 months, tweeted about the relationship yesterday night. And, Steve, this is what he said. The only truth here is that a relationship came to an end. And what remains is a huge amount of love and respect.
Well, look, here's the thing. That's all fine for Calvin Harris, but the rest of the nation is waiting with bated breath for more details.
the dirt?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I didn't get a minute's sleep last night thinking about the Calvin Harris-Taylor Swift breakup.
There were some internet rumors from sources close to Calvin Harris.
Yes, tell me more.
Not Calvin Harris, but
right.
Sources close.
By the way, can I ask a question I think is pertinent to this? Who the hell is Calvin Harris?
Yeah, come on, seriously?
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Big famous DJ, you know, in the electronic dance movement.
Is he the guy with the mouse head?
He's not. That is not.
Oh, that's Dead Mouse, I'm being told?
That's Dead Mouse.
Okay.
Right.
Didn't he collaborate with Neo?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Collaborated with a lot of people.
Yes.
Very, very successful DJ and
You would think producer. As a black entertainer, I'd know the club scene.
You would know if Mike pulled some of his songs right now, you would know them, I promise. Okay.
Does he have a hit?
Yeah, lots of them.
I was a DJ. I used to know all this stuff. I don't know anything anymore.
Yeah, Barry Manilow, Torn Between Two Lovers.
Looks like we made it.
That's when a song was a song. Tell you.
I hate club music. Thumping. Yeah, it is. Oh, God. You know what club music is to me? Two More Advil. Was that one of Calvin Harris's hits, Two More Advil?
Okay, Grandpa. You know what I hate?
Where's my liniment?
By Jiminy, you know, you fiddledy-diddledy dancing music that you kids seem to like.
Oh, you got some Calvin Harris?
Blame it on the night.
Oh, this crap. Yeah, I remember that song.
Blame it on me.
Yeah, this is great.
Blame it on me.
Yeah. Ghosty, ghosty, ghosty.
Oh, we had a technical problem. Yeah. No, it's not for me. Not for me.
What do you like? Like, what's your...
Well, I like R&B. I like rap, like a little hip-hop. I like some white people music, too, just not too much of it.
Okay.
Doesn't make me a musical racist, because I don't like white people music.
A little bit it does.
I like some country.
Justin Bieber.
You know, Bieber is a talented little creep. The problem is there's too much creep.
I hate to say his most recent album... I like a few songs on the album.
Yeah. I like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's talented. Yeah.
All right, you both just lost me.
Yeah. I don't need any club music.
We sound like two super old people.
She's pretty good.
You know what I like, my jingity?
I used to go to clubs. You used to go to clubs. You could count on things. You could count on a brightly lit floor, a disco ball. And this was just yesterday, wasn't it? And you could count on a Leonard Skinner record or a Led Zeppelin record at the end of the night, Stairway to Heaven. Wasn't that just yesterday?
Steve throwing a five spot up into the DJ booth trying to get Never Can Say Goodbye.
Can you play It's Raining Men?
Hey, buddy, here's a George Washington. Can you get me a little Journey, Open Arms?
I'm trying to hit up on those chicks over there. Can you play I Will Survive? I want to act like I'm sensitive.
You call that slow dancing? I need slower dancing. You know my hip. Ah, gotcha. All right, moving on. Ticket price for the final Hamilton show is now up to $412,000 since we finished that segment per seat. Now let's talk about some movies. Me Before You, is this...
It's a teary one.
Is it good?
It is good.
Oh, okay, good.
It is good. It's based on the best-selling novel. About a young girl, naive, full of spirit, full of hope, full of goodness, who takes on a job as a caretaker for a guy who is recently in a terrible accident, becomes quadriplegic, and is rightfully angry at everyone and everything in the world because of how his life has changed. And this young girl, his caretaker, really puts up with a lot from him and slowly melts him away. They become friends. They become, flirty with each other, become boyfriend, girlfriend. But through a series of events, begin to fill the voids in each other's life. And what this movie becomes is really a nice statement, a really powerful, very sweet emotional statement about unconditional love and having someone in your life whose needs you put before your own. It is very well written, very well acted. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, Sam Caplan, an English actor, star in this movie. They do a fantastic job. I really liked it, and not ashamed to say, in movies like this, you will definitely see me trying to hide my tears. You know, so I don't look like a big wuss.
Oh, I don't do that anymore. I just wail. I just wail openly.
He falls. Ah! Falls on the floor.
Yeah. Just want people to know it's affecting me.
You're going to do that with this movie. I gave it a B+, Dean's B+.
Pop star. Never stop stopping popping.
Andy Samberg. Now, this movie had so much potential for being one of these SNL movies that really should have only been about 4 minutes long. This one works. It's the story of egomaniac, you know, one of these disposable pop stars that come up through the internet. They have, you know, a burst of success and then can't follow up on this success.
One of the funniest scenes I saw in a trailer, and I've heard Sandberg do a couple interviews about it, and I'm hit and miss with him, but in the trailer, he's such a big pop star, he has Seal play his proposal.
Right.
So he's proposing to the fiance, and it's Seal, and an entire orchestra is standing by to sing. You know, just like you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the shoe that drops in that scene is the reason he has Seal there singing to his fiance, who is, you know, kind of a ditzy reality show star airhead,
right,
has often said that she feels like in a former life that she was a wolf. So in the background, he's got seven actual wolves on leashes.
Bloodthirsty wolves.
As Seal is singing, the wolves are going more and more mad, get loose from their leashes, and start attacking everybody who's at the wedding proposal. This was in the trailer.
We're not spoiling anything.
We're not spoiler alerting anyone. There's more to the scene, but it's a very funny scene in this movie. And that, I think that's, you know, that's the secret of the success of this movie. There is one star cameo after another in this movie. Just when it begins to feel like one of these SNL movies that's running out of gas, another surprise pops up, and another, his comedy buddies, all like surprising music people who appear in this movie in very supporting roles.
Sandberg's a popular guy, amongst Hollywood
very
folks.
Very much so.
Yeah, people like him, they want to work with him. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, other than the sex and the violence,
Completely stupid. I didn't like the first one, didn't care for this one. I know that
do you not have turtle power?
I do not have turtle power. I can't even, you know, like maybe it's been since like the mid-80s that I said the word cowabunga.
Are you not down with the heroes on the half shell?
To anybody? I really am not, but I know many of you are. Yeah. If you like the turtles, you'll like this one. I just didn't see any point. What they've done is, from the first movie, they've added a bunch of superstar names into this movie. Three-time Oscar winner Laura Linney is in this movie.
What? Somebody needed a paycheck.
Somebody needed to put an addition on their home.
Yep, that's one of those.
Tyler Perry, arguably one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, in show business, appears as a nerdy professor, completely channeling Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor in this movie. Has no business being in this film.
Ridiculous.
It's a mess. But if you like the turtles, you know, this one's critic proof. I thought it was awful. I couldn't wait to get out of it, but I'm sure it'll probably be number one on Monday.
You'll be on the radio Sunday?
I will, with my conversation with Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, and also the author of the novel Me Before You. Really interesting conversation about that movie. Bring your Kleenex, because, you know, my Sunday morning show, for completely different reasons, also brings out tears in people.
I know. When I'm listening, I usually make this noise. Why?
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people say why when they listen to my show.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
See you, buddy.
That's Dean Richards. It's 8:31. We're back with a big story after this.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We'll talk a little travel here in a second. Let me tell you something. A lot of shows on a Friday, in the last hour, hour and a half of the show, they're coasting. It's Friday. It's over. Steve Harvey, you listen to Steve Harvey this morning. You know what he does in the last hour and a half of the show? He does Family Feud. You know, he's calling little kids, seeing if they'll be on a kid show he has on Sunday nights. He's not focused on the radio show.
See, we don't listen. We don't know that.
No. Hot Shots?
Little Hot Shots. Oh, you're watching a little, aren't you?
Oh, you do.
I see the sign on Ohio. I am singularly focused on this show, as far as you know, at all
I
times.
I love that show. It's cute.
We're not telling it. We're not here to promote Steve Harvey.
Come on.
Sorry. I'm making a point. And the point is, the rest of this show, Tom Skilling will be on.
Oh,
talking
best.
About his new fitness kick that he's on now.
He is doing so well.
He's getting his own Iron Man show. They're doing a reality show.
Really?
Tom's killing Iron Man.
Tom is eating a little prepared meals and everything like that. He's doing very well. And that's tough to do. It's hard to go from big portions to smaller portions.
I'm familiar with that struggle. Debbie Grisco from Almost Home Kids will join us after 9. Deb's an old friend, and she runs an organization that is directly impacted by the failures of the state of Illinois. So she can give us some real insight, real world insight into what's going on with Illinois not paying its bills for service agencies like hers. And then our friend Kendra Thornton. If you listen to this show with any regularity before I was... You remember I got fired in 2010?
It was so long ago, I try to put that out of my mind.
Well, here's what happened. I got fired in 2010, so I left. And then I came back in 2013 because they asked me to. Not they. The bad people were gone then. The people from the Star Wars bar were out of the building. So then I came back and the good people were here. And it's nice to reconnect with Kendra Thornton. Sandberg saw Kendra Thornton at, I don't know, at some event.
A bash.
And asked Kendra if she'd come on again. And Kendra said, well, I don't know. Steve and I have been fighting for quite some time, but apparently we can make up. And Kendra Thornton joins us again now from at Kendra Thornton and Kendra Thornton Travel. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to talk to you again, Steve. It's been too long.
Yeah, same here. I'm glad the therapy worked out for us. How's the family? How are your kiddos?
Everyone's good. They're growing up too fast. I think the last time I was on your show, I had a baby, and now she's in kindergarten. It's crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy, crazy. Kendra represents what I think the rest of the world needs, and that's great travel agencies. You know, at a time where we kicked them all to the curb and we went, I'll do it myself. Kendra, you can turn to Kendra, you can turn to the family company, and you can go, please help me. And that's what you do every day.
Yes, that's true. Thanks, Steve, for saying that. I mean, you know, my parents started our business 45 years ago, Royal Travel and Tours. And, I mean, we've sustained a great reputation for helping people design memory-making trips. I mean, whether it's a family vacation or maybe someone wants to explore an exotic destination or plan a honeymoon or just go away for a group of couples on a fun long. I mean, we do everything, and we're able to bring a lot of value-added amenities to our clients, like maybe a free breakfast or an upgrade, and these are things that they wouldn't be able to get if they just booked the trip online by themselves.
Well, and it all comes down to how much do you value your time? Because, you know, we were talking about this yesterday in regards to something else, but, you know, you want an oil change, you want to change your oil, good. If that's what you're into and you want to spend an hour doing it, great. Or do you want to roll into a Jiffy Lube or whatever and get it done? Or you want to go to the doctor, have the doctor fix your... Look, the travel experts are experts in travel. It's not hard to put those two together. You can click away all night and try to see if you can save yourself money and probably in most cases end up costing yourself more. So educate us, Kendra. What is a fitcation?
Yeah, I know. I always like to say, if you have a plumbing problem, are you going to fix it yourself or call a plumber?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And she does this every day. Her family does this every day. There's other great agencies around Chicago, but not many left. I'm just telling you, support them. That's all. Just support them.
Thank you.
So what's a fitcation?
It won't cost people more money. If anything, people are going to save money by working with us because we're going to make sure they get a lot of value add, as part of their trip. But I thought it'd be fun to just talk about some of the hot trends in travel right now. People are always asking me, where are people going or how can I save some money on the places I want to go? So one trend that I think was interesting hearing you talk about the Tom Skilling and Iron Man thing is this whole fitcation trend that is really big where people want to go to a beautiful destination. They want to be, you know, maybe a slug on the beach for a day, but then they also want to achieve some wellness goals while they're going. And so a lot of the resorts are picking up on that. It's really fun. So, you know, a lot of people get in great shape and then they go on the vacation, then they eat and drink all day and then they come back feeling really gross.
Yeah, they feel bad about themselves after taking time off when you're supposed to feel good about yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're going to be in a beautiful destination, you are a little bit more inspired to get in shape because you're wearing less clothing. So I think there's some cool resorts around the Caribbean, especially that have jumped on this. One that is a great deal that I saw was to Jamaica. And it's at a new resort called the Sunscape / Montego Bay. And this is a 3-night all-inclusive trip through our agency with our partner Apple Vacations. But it's $799 all-inclusive, so your airfare from Chicago is included. You get a beautiful room at the resort, and then all these daily fitness activities are included to help you get in shape. So Zumba, Aqua Zumba, all the water sports activities you might want to do, like paddle boarding, of course, fitness classes at the gym. But if you wanted to make it a family vacation, too, because obviously this is a time where people are traveling with the kids as well. Kids can go for only $599.
Well, that's great. So basically,
and that's all inclusive. Meals and drinks, everything is a part of that price.
Right. So you're flying, you're eating, you're staying, and you're staying fit for what it would normally cost for a nice room and a nice vacation.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times I tell people when you can bundle that flight and hotel, it's still going to equate to a saving. So when possible, book those packages. And this is just a great example where you can do that.
Hang on, I need some more details from you. We've got to get traffic in here. At Kendra Thornton, KendraThornton, and all the links, you know, are there too. When you follow Kendra to hook up with the company. All right, well, more with her in a second and more travel questions. Life is a highway. I wanna ride it all night long. Wintrust Community Bank sponsors the 8 o'clock hour. Kendra Thornton's with us. Nobody knows more about travel than Kendra. Right, what's another Fitcation location?
Oh, another fun Fitcation I saw was in Curtain Bluff. This is in Antigua, which is obviously a beautiful, very cool island in the Caribbean. And they have built out this whole wellness concierge team, which is a really great concept. So they're taking this Fitcation idea to another level where even before you arrive at this beautiful resort, you give them sort of your wellness objectives and preferences, and then they customize the program for you. And it's all included in the price. You're not spending any extra money, but they will say, okay, today here's your itinerary. You're going to go do Pilates, or you're going to go do yoga or aqua aerobics, or you're going to paddleboard or snorkel. But they put together your whole list of daily activities to match the goals that you submitted to them before you arrive, which is a really cool idea. And this resort, it's all inclusive. You know, it's a little bit on the pricier side, but they do have some summer special rates going where it's about $686 per night, but that is inclusive of everything, meals, you know, all your activities, drinks, et cetera.
And is that flying as well? That's air?
No.
The air is separate, but it's everything on the ground there.
It's everything on the ground there.
Got it. All right. So here's my question. Let's say I want to go do a Fitcation. And you want to stay active during the week, you want to do all that, but you also want to be a slug for maybe the middle of the week. Are you going to have, like, peer pressure? Like, what, you know, somebody's going to be calling you, your new friend from Toledo, hey, Steve, get out of bed, we're doing yoga.
I think you got to put that in your objectives. You know, do you want to be harassed or do you want to be left alone every
okay.
other day?
Okay.
I think they would honor that. But, you know, outside of the Fitcation thing, another thing I really want to talk about with your listener, Steve, is the whole idea of European travel, because it has really been a big surprise, I will be honest, how many families are traveling to Europe this summer. I mean, we are up big in terms of our European travelers this summer over last, which is a bit of a surprise considering everything that's happened over the past year. And
sure.
I think it's just, of course, driven by the strength of the dollar, but also just the desire for families more and more today to really show their kids parts of the world that they may have not gotten to see when they were children themselves. London is one of the top destinations, and I think a lot of it is because the Queen's birthday is officially being celebrated June 12th in London. She's turning 90, which is quite an achievement. And so I've been talking to people about, okay, you want to go to London. Even people are booking last-minute trips to London, even to be there as part of this birthday celebration. It's an expensive city. What can you do to explore London but save a little money? And the big thing I always say on the airfare side is make sure you have a Saturday night stay, because that's going to bring your travel costs down probably by almost a third in terms of airfare. And then secondly, a new pass that I have become very familiar with that I love is called the London Pass. And this will give you access to 60 of the best attractions in London. And they have 1, 3, and 6-day passes. So you just go to londonpass.com. It's about $85 for a grown-up and then $56 per child as starting price. But then you can see everything, Westminster Abbey, Kensington Palace, skip the line access.
Wow, that is a big deal, because if you've ever taken your family to London and you're paying for each one of those attractions and you're standing in line, that's going to save you a ton of dough.
Big time.
And aggravation.
Big time.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah. So I was really thrilled about that. And then I always tell people, look for a hotel where maybe they're going to throw in a breakfast. So at least you have part of that first meal of the day included in your room rate. The Rubens is a hotel near Buckingham Palace.
I've stayed there. It's beautiful.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
great.
It's beautiful.
Love
it. Yeah.
Yeah, people seem to like it. It's a great location. So that's a way. And they still have availability in June. It's about $345 per night for a double room, but you could fit a family of four in there. So it is still, you know, it's still accessible to experience Europe even this summer. I mean, I had a family contact me yesterday that wants to go to Ireland in August, a family of five with young children. So people are really planning these trips very last minute, but they're eager to go.
Kendra, are you seeing more weekend trips too, like Friday to Monday, Thursday through Sunday?
You know, that trend really emerged, you know, probably 5 to 10 years ago, the long weekend versus the week long.
Right.
But we're almost seeing the pendulum switch back where people are, if they're going to go and they're going to spend the money, they're going to commit to making it a bigger, longer experience. I think maybe we now have the ability to work remotely, and it's quite easy for people to get away for a week but still be plugged in, and that seems to be what people are doing.
You said stay Saturday night. Any other sneaky travel tips that people ought to be asking you about when they call, or are you going to handle all that?
Well, I mean, one thing I like to remind people, too, is Wednesday is typically the cheapest day of the week to fly. So if you have flexibility, fly Wednesday to Wednesday. That's going to give you the Saturday night stay, and you're going to be flying in and out on the least expensive day of the week.
But my advice to you is to call Kendra and or get online and get to Kendra and book it. What's the phone number?
Our 800 toll-free, 1-800-747-7695. And then our website is www.royal-travel.com.
Follow Kendra on social media at Kendra Thornton, K-E-N-D-R-A-T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. Nice to talk to you again. We'll do this again next month.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. That's Kendra Thornton. We like Kendra. You've met Kendra? You've never met Kendra?
I can't believe I haven't. I love
just another
travel
guest Channel 9's Morning News stole from us.
Yes.
Because she ended up on TV as well. But she's great. We love her. Now, that's a perfect opportunity for you to mention your Greeks extravaganza this
yeah,
fall.
Yeah, our Greek trip, we still have, actually, we're at the number of people that we want. We wanted
you're
to get,
sold out?
We're not completely sold out. Oh. We wanted to get 20, 25 people. We have that, but Steve is
bigger
so,
plane.
Steve is so generous. He said, you know, we can get a few more people if you want, because hey, it's Greece, you're Greek, you probably know a lot of Greek people. And even those who aren't Greek, we want to come too.
If you take everybody that's Greek in Chicago, who is going to make the flaming cheese there at the restaurant?
No, we're not going to take everybody.
You're not going to take
we
the flaming cheese?
We won't take all cheese? The Greeks.
Can't take the flaming
no,
cheese?
No, we can't light it on fire on the plate.
No, that'd be wrong.
But yeah, go to our website, WGNradio.com. Click on the link where it says my trip to Greece, our trip to Greece.
Is it special events or what's it under?
It's under special events, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Travel segment.
Book it before it's gone. Is Bertrand's not flying the plane, is he? Because he's not a pilot.
No, Bertrand's not going. I'm so bummed. I wish he was going to be there.
That's such a crock. You're glad he's not
no.
going.
No. Okay, well, yeah. Good morning.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
913, Tom Skilling later. My friend Debbie Grisco is here, and Deb was the first woman I ever nominated with. You can't say no to her even when you know you're absolutely right. Yeah, she's her own human weather system. She is the boss at Almost Home Kids, an organization which, and there's very few places like this in the world, but I've said this a million times about Almost Home Kids. If you see it, you get it. If you hear about it, you get it. But if you see it and experience it, you get it at a level that will touch your life and change your life. And she joins us now. As a matter of fact, introduce this fine woman sitting next to you as well, Deb.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Nice to see you.
This is Judith McLean, my director of marketing, with me here today.
Your right hand, left
my
hand?
My right hand, left hand. She came to make sure I showed up on time and where I'm supposed to be. So
well, you look great. It's great to see both of you.
Thank you.
And I want to talk about the impact of the state on what you're doing. But before we get to all that, because you've been, you know, 10 years ago, you and I were talking about what the state was doing to agencies like this.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, let's talk about what you do first.
Sure.
Almost Home Kids is what?
So Almost Home Kids is a children's healthcare center. We provide 24-hour care for children who are medically fragile, so technology dependent, so they require some form of technology to survive. They come from the hospital. We have two main programs. We have several programs, but one is transitional care out of all the ICUs from around the state, and now we do some international work also, and from other states actually too. For 120 days they come, we teach the parents how to care for them.
And these are kids that could be dependent on specific medical equipment
the parents
have to learn?
Sure, trach. They could be on a ventilator full time. They could have a feeding tube. They could have a PICC line. That's how they're fed intravenously. So event very,
kids
very
have very serious medical needs.
Right, very complicated.
And they're not going to stay in the hospital for the rest of their lives.
But
and the parents want them home, so the parents need to know how to do this. Now, along with that, one of the coolest things that I think you've always done is respite care.
Right.
Because when you have 24-hour care that focused, you've got other kids that need your attention in all likelihood, but also you need a couple of minutes to yourself.
Right. So these are kids that go home and they have nursing in their home also too. So these just so the parents can sleep at night, things like that. But can you imagine like you maybe want to take your oldest to college or maybe you have to go out of town to bury a relative or
go to the grocery store.
Or maybe have another baby, the mom. All right, there you go. So we do respite care and that's pretty much completely fundraised. We do all, that's a big part of what we do. So we never say no to anybody. We provide that care. And, you know, back to the state, you know, our respite grant wasn't even funded this year because there's no budget. So, you know, and I'll say kudos to the community here in Chicago, Western suburbs and foundations. They stepped right up and that we were able actually to provide all the care that was asked of us this year for respite care. So again, if you don't, you know, we do all this stuff to save children, spend millions of dollars in hospitals, and then they go home. And then what is the support in the community, and what are we doing to keep families healthy and whole? And that's what respite care does.
This goes back to what Dr. Mo said so many times before. He said, look, you want to break this down to money? Forget about the human side of it for a second and break it down to this. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. And you actually save the state of Illinois millions of dollars.
Right, right.
And your thank you for saving the millions of dollars is not getting the money the state owes you.
So, you know, the thing is we have two sites. So 12 beds in 211 here East Grand in the Ronald McDonald House. We released a sixth floor there. We have a great partnership with them. And then also we have a 12-bed site out in Naperville, too, 8,000 square foot home. And then we're also an affiliate of Lurie Children's Hospital. So each of our sites saves $10 million a year in Medicaid savings. But we run a deficit of our rate of $245 a day. It just doesn't cover our costs, just with transitional care. Never mention that we provide all this respite care for basically free because we fundraise this money. So,
all right, now, this is a company that would probably be, I don't know, mid-sized if you classified it in healthcare.
Right.
Break it down to the individual caregivers, the people that go and they meet kids in their homes and they give them early intervention care and stuff like that. Are any of them getting paid?
You know, I think the problem in the state right now, personally, Steve, is that many of the, you know, I'll tell you, 99% of my kids are in the Medicaid system, and Medicaid has pushed most of everybody into managed care, and that's what I talked to you a little bit about yesterday. So these are insurance companies that are managing these populations. They're not paying. And everything's denied and delayed. And, you know, I just recently been involved in something, you know, where they weren't paying for a secondary ventilator for a child who's fully dependent on a ventilator. So to live. So if that vent goes out, we're talking that's a 911 back to the hospital and stuff like that. And, you know, it took me going to Springfield, meeting with the director, she's been great, Felicia Norwood of HFS, and, you know, working with her team to work with the MCOs to get them to approve this ventilator. But, you know, all this work when it's just common sense. You know, and so you want to pay for an ER visit and an ICU visit instead of paying for, and that was 6 months they didn't pay the Durable Medical Equipment Company. So.
And you have been, and Patty Vasquez does a lot of this as well, and Patty's a friend of yours as well.
Right.
And Patty's got a medically dependent child, a child with significant disabilities, and Declan, beautiful little boy, as his big brother Griffin. And you see parents going through this, and you know the stress and strain they're under, and the stress and strain all of you guys are under in providing this care.
Right.
You go to Springfield, and you must want to just beat your head against a wall because you're talking to people that don't have a clue and aren't willing to take basic steps to do the basic job of providing a budget for the state of Illinois.
Right. You know, Steve, you know how I am. It's like, if there's a problem, let's just sit down, let's get it done. But everyone needs to leave their own agendas at the door and get it done. There's no reason not to get this done. But these children make up 6% of the population. They take up 40% of the Medicaid costs, and they're growing at 5% a year. What are we doing about it? How many of them are staying hundreds of days in hospitals, unnecessarily costing us all this money, when you can have sites like Almost Home Kids saving $10 million each site? So, you know, that's my thing. What's the five-year strategy of the state? Could we just get out in front of it instead of always being behind it?
It's absolutely mind-boggling, because Channel 9 has done a couple of pieces, too, on many of these caregivers, and I'm sure you've probably experienced this, too, Debbie, but many of these caregivers saying, hey, we're not getting paid, but you know what? We need to be there. It's just a responsibility as a human being. But what do you do, God forbid, if there is equipment failure? You know, you mentioned the respirator.
Right,
I mean, that...
It is. And not that, but what we keep getting is these emergency calls from parents. I haven't slept in 5 days. The nurses aren't showing up. They haven't been paid. So, you know, so we're taking them in as emergency. And we recently, it was quite upsetting. We had a child that, you know, the mom just said, I can't do this anymore. I keep losing my employment. The nurses don't show up. She put her child in long-term care, which is institutional care. Breaks my heart, because I believe every child in the state
Somebody
and
with
the country
family.
Has a right to grow up at a home. And we do a lot of foster care training, too. So if a parent just can't do it, that's okay. But we will find a foster family to do that. Every child has a right. And I think it's atrocious. And what does it say about us as a society that we allow this to happen?
And I hate, well, you know, people say this kind of stuff all the time. And frankly, I hate the comparison. But we are at a point in this state in particular or what do you need in Springfield to do your job? Do you need one of your own kids to suffer the way these kids are suffering? Is that the only way this is going to get real to you? Do you need your niece or your nephew to go through this?
Right.
These are real people in the most fragile state
right.
that they could be in, not being taken care of by the state of Illinois. So therefore, what does it say about us?
Right. And that's it. I mean, I was down there and, you know, I had some great meetings with the legislators and they're, you know, they're all yes, yes, yes. And they want to do this. But this budget thing is just seems to be this nightmare that we know when everyone's stuck, they can't move forward.
Yeah. And I think everybody knows how I feel. But I don't care if you don't like Rauner. I don't care if you don't like Madigan. Just tell them to do their jobs and figure it out. Frankly, I don't know what else Rauner can give up at this point. But at this point, just get it done.
Right.
And by the way, get it done does not mean go back to give Madigan everything. Just get it done.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's all just get it done because there's and they're all elected to get there and get it done. So that's what we need.
I don't know how they get up in the morning and look themselves in the mirror because the kids you're describing, the families that are suffering, it's their fault.
Right, right. I mean, 80% of my families live at or below poverty level. They already have enough stuff stacked against them, and now they're taking things like this on. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe the hoops we jump through, my case management team, my social work team, you know, to make it happen for these families. Like that, it just shouldn't be that hard to get these things done.
You mentioned someone who's trying to get it done and is helpful there. There are people in Springfield. Well, Leslie Munger. We're a fan of Leslie Munger, the comptroller, doing a job. But there are people in Springfield.
There are. It was with Senator Redonio and Senator Conley and, you know, Ron Sandek and, you know, and Patty Bellock and also Greg Harris. I was just down there and Jim Durkin meeting with all them. They're all, they get it. They understand. I'm like, we got to right size these rates. We got to pay for outcomes. Less than 2% of my kids who leave our program are readmitted to a hospital 30 days afterwards. There is not a hospital in the country that can state that. That is how well our programs run, the community supports, the nursing, that we get set up for these families, how well the parents are trained. They can flip out circuits on the vents by the time they leave. We get that done. This is what we, you know, this is what it needs. Pay for accountability. Like, what are your outcomes? That's what I want.
And nobody's asking for something. Hey, you know, it'd be great. Could we get a big screen TV to go home with these kids as well? Nobody's asking for nonsense.
I'm just asking for supplies. You should see what we have to do to fight for supplies. I mean, it's ridiculous. These MCOs, well, you know, we're not going to pay for that. What do you mean you're not going to pay for that? You have to pay for that. You got to have a suction catheter. What is wrong with you?
Right.
So the director and her team, which I have to give kudos to them, has set up a meeting next Thursday with all the CEOs and the chief medical officers of the MCOs with me. So I'm giving a presentation. We're going to have a little conversation about this. How can we get this done?
When we come back, we only have a couple minutes, but when we come back, I want you to tell people what they can do to help. Because for every one of you, there's thousands, literally thousands of their organizations in this state that are standing in line trying to get paid just to keep the doors open.
Right.
923, stand by for more. This is 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
927 live in the greatest radio studio on the planet. The Allstate Showcase Studio, show number 663. Thinking a lot about my mom today. My mom died 16 years ago, make it 17 years ago today.
Oh, thinking of her today as well, though.
It's Senya. Yeah, Finnish name. Sonia, Senya?
Senya.
Senya Cochran, 5 feet tall, all piss and vinegar, as her generation would say.
Didn't give her any lip.
No. Debbie Grisco's here, and Debbie Grisco, Almost Home Kids, is an organization I'd very much like you to take a closer look at. Our mutual friend Art Norman had a get-together with you guys, didn't he?
We just did a Making a Difference segment. What a hoot he is.
We got to get Art over to the Naperville house.
Yeah, so Judith's working on that right now with him.
Yeah. Let me know if I need to put the squeeze on Art. Art's laughter would echo through the walls over there at the house.
We had a great time. The segment
He's
was
the
like
best.
Taped for, what, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and we were there for, what an hour? That was great. We had a lot of fun.
Art is a good man.
He's a great guy.
There's something called the Summer Soiree at the Columbia Yacht Club coming up when?
June 16th.
6 to 9 p.m.
Right.
And Patty Vasquez, we're talking about Patty's going to be there to help MC.
We're so excited about that.
She's very generous and happy to do that. Of course, you hear Patty every night from 11 to 2 here on the Pretty Late Show on WGN. That's great. All right. So we were talking before. How can people help? I know some people probably get numb to this. I always say, you got to call your state rep. You got to write your state rep. You can find them in 2 seconds. Just Google who is my state rep.
Right.
And put your address in and you'll get it.
That's great. We definitely need to do that. And then, we got to get this done. So, you know, everybody's there. And I know there's couple of people that have the authority to make this happen or not, but there's a lot of other people there also that have been elected.
So. Other than pressuring your state rep, do we need to rent buses and have burning clubs and go straight to Springfield?
You know, I don't think so. I think they really listen when you call. I really think that's a big deal to call them and to send emails and stuff like that. I really think they do listen in that regard. So
yeah, and by the way, I'm not advocating being rude to people.
No.
Well, actually,
no.
There's a couple. But I'm not advocating being rude to everyone. And it's just say, listen, I'm not even looking for an explanation about why it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
The past is the past.
Right.
What are you going to do today,
right,
tomorrow, and the next day? Because if you want my support going forward,
right,
you have to do something.
And let's be strategic and look to the future, too. Let's, you know, I know we got to fix this, but let's, like, what are we going to do 5 years and 10 years from now, too? So let's put that foundation in place, too.
And don't sweat over writing some 14-page email.
No.
Two paragraphs.
Not. That's it.
One paragraph.
That's all,
said, I want to support you, but I'm only going to support you if you do this. And by the way, the do this is get the budget done.
Right, right.
If you get the budget done, then everybody starts to get paid in
I
a sensible
so.
Order.
I think so.
What about supporting you guys? How do we do that?
So you can, a couple ways. So you can go to our website, which is almosthomekids.org. You can be a volunteer. We have a lot of corporate companies that come in, and they do help with our projects at our site. They also run their own little fundraisers, a bowling-thon.
So if you have a couple hours here or there, you can do a big help?
It's great. And then, okay, you know, donations are always welcome. And coming to the soiree, it's a great cocktail party in the evening at the Columbia Yacht Club. And tickets are $100. So that is a really, really fun
$100 evening. $100, that's
nothing. I know. It's just such a great, that band, the Street Jackson.
Okay.
Blue Band is fabulous. They're actually playing at
Blues Fest.
The Blues Fest.
Oh, they're
so
at Blues Fest. They got to be a little
good. Yeah, so they're they're actually really good. So, yeah, so no, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, almosthomekids.org. We can't count on the state to do it, so we got to do it ourselves.
Right, right.
And $100 for the dinner. And your aunt's birthday is
so
today.
So today, Ann Curran, so it's her birthday.
Wait, 80, Ann Curran?
Ann Curran.
So. Not the Ann Curran.
Yeah,
the beautiful
is.
Ann Curran?
Yeah, it's her. 84 years old.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, she's
Did
one
you
of,
tell her I was going to take her dancing?
Yeah, she's one of your biggest fans. She reschedules her Friday hair appointment so she can listen to you. So you know how important the Friday hair appointments
absolutely.
Are. So, absolutely.
She doesn't need to change a thing. She's gorgeous right now.
She is. So she. I told you she wanted to ask about the Genucel. If it was working for you, she was going to get some. And the pillow, too.
I don't think I'm the best judge for the Genucel because genetically I've got darker circles than most, but you know, Andre will back me
I
up.
Use it. Yeah. Yeah. Uses it.
Well, and also, you know, formerly a raccoon, now just a tired guy, so yeah, that all works.
Yeah. And the pillow too. So she said
the my gonna, pillow. Yeah, well, yeah.
She's going to buy it for herself for her birthday. She said the
let's
my
get
pillow.
Her a my pillow.
Yeah,
let's get her a birthday present.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sure.
Okay. I think we looked it up. 84 on the Hallmark list. That is a my pillow.
That's yeah.
A,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's a sweetheart. So my siblings and I, we all took her out to dinner and stuff the other night. So yeah, so she's just such a sweetheart.
And
so.
Say hi to your whole family, including my best friend, your boy, the heckler.
Yeah, Tom Grisco. So yeah, he just interviewed at Mariano's for a job. So we're keeping our fingers
hey,
crossed.
Hey, good. Do you use me as a reference?
Yeah,
please. I shouldn't. That wouldn't help.
I was going to say, you want him to get the job, though, right?
We really want him to get the job.
AlmostHomeKids.org. Debbie Grisco and her whole team. Thank you.
Thanks. It's always
for the
a pleasure.
Work you guys
Thanks,
do.
Steve.
Thank you,
love you guys. Bye.
Hey, it's 9:32. Big story next, 720 WGN. Before we get to Iron Man Tom Skilling, I want to say hi to a couple of people. Dr. Mokel and everyone at his office at Northwestern Orthopedics, used to be Orthopedic Associates of DuPage, taking care of my bad knees. They're great people, so hi to them. And Mokel and I are old friends, and just couldn't be a better guy. And everybody out at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club, my golf course. I had just a great night last night with Dr. Sam, the very funny veterinarian, very talented veterinarian. The smartest veterinary minds ever.
And you almost got another hole in one.
Well, I was a hole in one as an eagle. Popped one in from
eagle.
Like 100 yards.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
As the sun was setting over the sixth hole at White Eagle, the ball trickled into the cup and people screamed. All right, there wasn't any gallery.
I was going to say,
it was just Sam.
And Dave said, did anybody just witness it?
Yeah, Sam.
Sam
was
did.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a reference to my hole in one last year that nobody saw?
No.
I
no.
believe that you got it.
Yeah, we all believe,
saying.
Steve.
I told somebody last year, if I started making up holes in one at 54, you got bigger problems than me making up holes in one at 54. So, you got the music again for Tom? Give me a little more. Tom Skilling, mild-mannered weatherman by day. But at night and first thing in the morning, He's sweating it up big time.
Hitting the gym.
Hitting the gym. Peeling the pounds. Tom Skilling joins us now. Looking better than ever. Hi, buddy.
Steve, how are you?
Terrific. And how is the fitness thing going?
Oh, my word. I'm aching in places, Steve. I didn't know the human body could ache. Going all right, you know? I work with this trainer because I don't know what to do with these stupid machines that are in these gyms and all. Sure. I don't know how to set them, so I figured I better get some help. But he grins at me. I ask him in what sort of torture facility this equipment was developed.
That's hilarious.
You know, here's the thing, Tom. You can figure out where El Nino and La Nino and all of those, you know where they are at any given time. You can tell us when the storm's going to hit. You can save us all from imminent destruction, but you can't figure out how to set the ramp on a treadmill.
No, isn't it the truth? You know, the ramp or these weights and so forth. All I can tell you, Steve, they're yanking at something that hasn't been yanked before because next day it aches. When it starts to even get out of the chair, you know that you're probably doing something good for the body.
That's true.
At least you
That's
hope
true.
You are. But,
That's true.
Anyway, it had to be done. So have you engaged in this sort of torture?
Oh, sure. Sure. The problem this is a true story. The problem I had, though, is, you know, I was a jock for a long time and played ball for a long time.
Yes.
And for many, many years, I thought I was still doing it. And then I remembered, no, actually, I'm not. I don't play full court basketball anymore. I don't play softball on the weekends.
By the way, I don't do the stuff.
You
sound like the counterpart would be the fish that got away among the fishermen, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You're pretty good out there. You called me from what, Roselle, the other day when the storm was bearing down. How did that ever come out?
Well, here's the deal.
Did you escape that storm? Or?
No, here's the deal. There are 9 holes in at the golf outing the other day, and we had a couple hundred people on the golf course, and I said, who do I know? I know Rocky. So I called Tom Skilling, and I said, we're going to get these people off the golf course. You know, do we need to keep them off the golf course? Because, man, there's not a lot of places more dangerous than a golf course when lightning hits, because you're out in the open, and you're around. We're not out in the open. You're standing around trees.
Yeah, Skilling's
you know something, Steve? My last day in Milwaukee in 1978, before I came down to WGN, there were 4 physicians, as I recall, out. They had played to the 18th hole, and they were out on the green, and the storm was coming in. And they decided, what the heck, let's get this thing done, you know, finish the game. And my word, lightning struck. And the picture on the front page of the Milwaukee Journal included the path that this lightning charge had followed through the ground because it killed the grass and marked clearly the veins of conductivity over, you know, through which this lightning passed. And I believe all of them were injured, if not killed. It was a terrible situation. So you're very wise to be concerned about that.
Yeah, well, it was nice of you to give us the personalized life-saving forecast.
And you were the last guy I expected to hear from, but I've been watching at that moment. I didn't realize you were out on the golf course, but I shouldn't have been surprised because I know you're an avid golfer, and you were very wise to...
Skilling said...
Get off the course.
Time. Skilling
said
there for you, Steve.
15 minutes... And literally, in 15 minutes, we were inside the clubhouse, and that's when the rain began. Precisely.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Tom. You taught me a long time ago about something called clear sky lightning. I think that's the layman's term for it.
Yeah.
But if there's a storm approaching, even though it looks nice in your area, you've got to be aware that you're not necessarily safe. We had a little kid killed on a baseball diamond a few years ago here because of that.
Up in Winnetka, I believe.
Yeah.
And, this lightning in that situation arced out of a blue sky from a thunderstorm that, as I recall, was 5 or 10 miles away. It was quite a distance. So, the minute you hear thunder rumbling, it's a good idea to take that very seriously. And, Andrea, you were out there too, huh?
I was out there, Tom. Yeah, we were literally watching the clouds, and Steve said, I'm going to text Skilling because this is going to be bad. You were to the minute, Tom. I'm not kidding you.
Well, it's Tom Skilling. All right, now this fitness thing you're doing, do you have a particular goal you're trying to hit or a time period you're doing, or is it just to get the doctor off your back?
Oh, no. You know, Steve, I just got sick of looking in the mirror. You know, I thought, this is out of control. And so I decided on my own it was time to get going with this. Look, my father had a stroke. We have diabetes in the family. I mean, you're playing with fire when you put on pounds in that situation. And it's so easy to do it because we all get so busy and don't move around as much as we should. So I thought, you know, this is critical. It's got to be done. So I figured, what the heck? And I I finally did it intelligently. I've got some help on this, both in the dietary arena. I work with a gal by the name of Pat Butkus, and is she terrific? She does things with vegetables, Steve, that you didn't know could be done. In terms of, you know, the culinary arts.
Yeah, I was gonna say that could end up on out of context.
Tom, I want to ask you about the.
Could have gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the food too. Was it strictly portion control or just giving up things like sugar eating more veggies?
Definitely that, Andrea. You know, I was a diet Mountain Dew-aholic, and I've gone through the hydrogenated vegetable oil withdrawal syndrome, and also. I think the yellow number 5, which is one of the ingredients of Diet Mountain Dew, probably had a withdrawal period as well. But I've gone through that now, and I'm over to water and, a little tea, and away from the artificial sweeteners. I'm trying to stay away from that. So they tell you that's all good.
Well, I can tell you this.
I don't understand all this, but these folks know what they're doing, so that's what I've been doing.
There are a million diets, and there are a million new fads that come along, and it's, you know what? It ain't brain surgery, kids. Eat less, move more. That's it. Eat less, move more, and you can't help but lose weight. Now, I fully advocate, Tom, getting professional help, and anybody should. Trainers, like every other expert thing we've been talking about this week, trainers train.
Yeah.
Nutritionists tell you how to eat better. Why wouldn't you use the help if you have it?
You know, Steve, I used to hear from people say, said that, we use trainers, and I thought, get off it. But the fact of the matter is, when I survey my own knowledge of this, I just don't know what to do. I go into all these sophisticated machines and all, and I can sit there and play around on them, but I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing, and you can hurt yourself if you don't know what you're doing. And the same with, a diet. But you're right. I mean, when it boils down to it, you're trying to cut the number of calories you put in.
Right.
You're trying to cut down on the meat I eat, and stuff like that, and go to a more vegetable-based diet, and having some success. I've dropped 25 pounds.
I think you look great, buddy.
Great.
In 7 weeks. And so it's coming off at a good rate, and, I think not in a crazy manner.
Well, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but we need Tom Skilling. So you need to take care of yourself. That's why we're glad we're doing this, because selfishly, we must have Tom Skilling.
Oh, I tell you, Stevie, you're very kind. Look, I'm amazed at the number of people who have written and said, hey, we're going to start doing that. So
that's great.
I hadn't, this is not the kind of, this is not the portion of my life I talk about very often. Some people at the station said, hey, why don't we do a piece on that? In fact, my roommate said that. I'm amazed. It actually does seem to be something.
Well, it does. It inspires people.
It inspires people,
and it's a good thing. It's a nice thing to do. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And, we all can't have Mark Sapelsa or Dave Ennett's metabolism. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Mark Sapelsa and Dave Ennett both live, and you guys don't know this, 24 hours a day on fondue. Mm-hmm. And look at them. They're still in fantastic shape.
Kale fondue.
Yeah. It's healthy fondue.
And nobody, as you pointed out so often, wears a piece quite like Mark does.
No. That fake hair is. That is the best rug I have ever seen. It's just really something else.
You and I both know that's not true. And yet you started that on the radio, and now people have picked up on that, and even Mark has some fun with that. But Micah has a chance to get a shot in every now and then, which is good, because Mike gets a shot in at Micah every now and then,
You got a fun group. I just can't believe how many newscasts a day you're doing, but stay on this fitness kick, buddy. You look great.
Thank you, Steve, and you're knocking them dead in the morning. I'll tell you, you guys continued success to you,
thanks,
too,
buddy.
And showing us how it's done.
Thanks, buddy. It's a stupid hour to be up, but what are you going to do? all the best, man. We love you. That's Tom Skilling, at Skilling. That's how you know you're famous. He's like Madonna. Just at Skilling.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need anything. Just at Skilling.
That's all you have to say.
There you go. He is the Madonna of meteorology. And funny. Oh, he had a couple of things that were going to make Nick DiGilio's day. He'll use them on Out of Context for the next 6 months. All right, we're coming back with Dave's surprise birthday party and Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.
Go Cats.
Last week was your birthday. About 8 days ago now. Maybe a little longer. I kind of forgot, sorry. Mary's here, Mary Vandeveld, And she made you a cake, Dave, for your birthday, which was what day?
My birthday was Monday.
This week?
Yeah, it was this week.
Oh, but you took Monday off.
It was last month, but it was this week.
Oh, yeah. We've asked Bill and Wendy to join us. Normally, they're not here at this hour.
we flew in from the coast.
Yes. And
that makes it very special.
Sure.
And Deb and Judith are still here, almosthomekids.org. Don't forget about the summer soiree at the Columbia Yacht Club, June 16th, 6 to 9. Almosthomekids.org.
You can't just invent a new language.
Almosthomekids.org. All your information is right there. All right, shall we sing, Mara? This is your cake.
This is a carrot cake, too, on my app.
Oh, I love carrot cake. Should I open my card?
Yeah, would you?
Okay.
I was looking for the chocolate.
When does the spanking machine start?
Right now,
Dave is now opening his card, but I forgot to put something in the card, Dave.
Okay. Admitting your real age. What honesty. Yeah. What courage. What integrity. What a memory. Happy birthday. Thank
Here's
you, guys.
Here's your present, Dave.
My Hooters card is
That's
back.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Hold it up.
The Hooters gift card.
And the traditional $25 Hooters gift card.
No
this
expense.
Is passed on no from birthday to birthday since 2013.
I'm touched.
Yes, no one has cashed it out yet. All right, would you like us to sing anything in particular?
Whatever suits you. How about Elton John's Your Song?
And I can tell everyone.
What do we go with happy birthday? A one,
Dave's
a
song.
Two,
Dave's
a three. Song.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David.
Dave Bennett.
Happy birthday to you.
Bill was just mouthing it. He wasn't singing.
I was not singing. Rarely do you hear the person's last name in the song, but yeah. Andrea decided to throw it in.
It helps us remember. Yes, and it's so good, Dave, to see active at this age.